Hi, I'm Dean Temple. This is Virtual Hudson Valley. Welcome to the October 5th edition of the Rockinist Podcast outside of Millbrook, New York. I can say that because as far as I know, we're the only podcast outside of Millbrook, New York. I wouldn't normally describe us as rockin'. Not that you should, change the channel for that. At any rate, this week on our show, we have Leslie Land, who is the garden Q&A columnist for the New York Times. She is also our garden expert. She is going to discuss alliums, not valiums, alliums, ornamental onions, and why you should have them in your garden and how to make sure they look their best. Carrie Swanson is our equestrian expert. She is the owner and operator of Windrock Farm in Amenia, New York. She will take a look at, in a month from now, the Equine Affair. That is a huge and important horse event that will be taking place in Massachusetts in the second week of November. Alex Tuller is Virtual Hudson Valley's own personal home cook. She is going to poach some pears this week. We had thought about making a wild turkey mole with a wild turkey that our hunter shot, but that didn't exactly work, so we're going to figure that out with the next wild turkey that we get, and then we'll have that episode on the show. I'll make sure that you know about it in advance. We also, of course, have the list with Ilana Papel, and Ilana's back after her three-week hiatus, so she's here to give you all of those events that are just too good to miss on this very busy week in the Hudson Valley. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. Leslie Land is the garden Q&A columnist for the New York Times and Virtual Hudson Valley's garden guru. Hi, Leslie. How have you been this week?
I have been well, I am happy to say.
Oh,
and
good.
I hope you have been the same.
I have been. I have been grammatically just perfect.
Hey, hey.
So we're talking about alliums this week, because that's what we said we were going to talk about last week, right?
That's what we said we were going to talk about last week on account of, I want to make a big pitch for them, because they're just among my very, very favorites. You call them spring bulbs because you plant them in the fall. But one of the things that's nice about alliums is that most of them bloom later than daffodils and tulips and crocus and all of the stuff that usually comes to mind when you say spring bulbs. And the ornamental onions, they start in late spring and go through early summer, depending on the variety. And they're so beautiful. They're just so beautiful.
Now, I noticed,
and there's so many of them.
Now, are they all, I mean, they're all onion family, right?
They're all in the onion family. They all smell faintly oniony when cut, but they don't smell like onions in the garden.
But now, do they taste like onions?
They taste like onions if you eat them, but they're not too delicious. They won't hurt you.
Okay.
They're not poisonous.
I think that's where I'm going with it. So they're not poisonous, so that's a good thing.
They're not poisonous, which is a good thing, but most of them, you wouldn't, for one thing, they cost a lot more than a regular onion, so you wouldn't want to spend that money.
Right.
The ones, if you think about chives and garlic chives, both of which have those beautiful flowers that are like balls of teeny tiny flowers all
I
together.
I have been very impressed with the garlic chive flowers this year. There's this big, it's not that big, but it's this kind of spread out white.
This beautiful starburst.
Fabulous little starburst of a flower that completely took me by surprise and took up an entire, row.
They're gorgeous. They really are. And they do, it must be said, self-seed all over the place.
Oh, well, that's nice.
From those little flowers. But you can put those flowers in the salad or whatever. So
you can eat the flowers?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we didn't eat the flowers, which is a shame. But we did eat the garlic chives, and they're yummy.
They are very yummy. And you can eat a lot of them, and they come back and stuff like that. And they're the bridge allium, in the sense, from an onion where you don't grow it for the flower, through these guys that give you both greens and flowers, to the fancy ornamental ones, which are so, so gorgeous. Most of them do have that starburst, but there are a couple of my favorites that are different, And in particular, there's one called Allium Schubertii that has a sort of two-part fireworks event. They're a beautiful pink, and they're on the inner part that send up a stiff stalk, and there's a sort of loose ball of pink star-shaped flowers. And then coming out of that are these long, long sort of tendrils, another starburst with long stems and the same little pink flowers way out on the ends of the stems. So it really is like fireworks when the unit goes up in the sky and it bursts and then it bursts again.
Right.
You get that kind of double whammy. Well, Schubertii is a double whammy. And they're really gorgeous. And then there's also one called Allium Flavum. So you know from that it's going to be yellow. And it's very, very late and it's quite delicate. But it has, again, a loose sort of starburst. And then a long trailing sort of flower cap that comes down off of the back. So it's just this gorgeous shape. And then there's one called Allium Bulgaricum, which is now actually Nectarus Squirtum Bulgarium. And the thing that's noteworthy about that is that it's one of the alliums that has little nodding bells. Most of them are stars, but some of them have beautiful little bells. And so you can get, and they're white with pink and green sort of stripes on the outside. And all of these things pop up in your garden. They take very little space. They're super hardy. Deer do not eat them, which is a good thing. And the one thing that it's really important to do, and interestingly, none of the bulb catalogs mention, but it is the habit of ornamental alliums. The foliage comes up first, and it is beginning to die back and turn yellow before you get this gorgeous flower. So it's really important to plant them in among, sort of, where hosta leaves will cover, all the stuff that you know about planting tulips or daffodils in places where later perennials, daylilies are a common one, will hide the foliage. That's super important with ornamental alliums because otherwise you've got this beautiful, beautiful flower and there's this kind of tatty debris underneath it. So, what I call the unpoetic ruins. So, that's this week's message, is take a look in the bulb catalogs or online at a place called like vanengelen.com and check out the ornamental alliums, plant a whole bunch of them, and plant them in the middle of other things where the ugly leaves will be hidden and the gorgeous flowers can rise and shine.
Perfect. I look forward to that. I guess there will be more information about this on your blog, is that right?
As usual.
And that's leslieland.com. If you want to go straight to the blog, it's .com/blog. Thank you very much, Leslie.
Always a pleasure.
Kerry Swanson is the owner and operator of Windrock Farm in Amenia, New York. Hi, Kerry. How are you doing this week?
I'm great, Dean. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. So it's the end of the season, and apparently there's a lot going on.
Well, it is. It's the end of the season, although this upcoming weekend is Kent Horse Trials, so you can still get out and see a three-day event. It's the beginning of next year's qualifying scores.
And that's over in Kent, Connecticut, I assume.
Right, that's okay. Very close, 20 minutes from here. And last weekend was the American Eventing Championships down in North Carolina.
North Carolina, which is not in the Hudson Valley, but...
But everybody who won their events up here in the Hudson Valley qualified to go down to this festival of eventing where riders came from all over the country to compete against one another.
Great. And how did our locals do?
They did great.
Did they?
They were in the top. Yes, they were.
I'm glad to hear that.
And believe it or not, there were over $50,000 in money prizes to be won and over $100,000 in prizes, saddles, bridles, blankets.
That's a lot of dollars.
Well, you know, it's something to have a goal and aspire for next year.
Okay, now, the main event you're going to talk about today, though, is this event in a month in Massachusetts.
Yeah, the Equine Affair. And we're particularly interested in it because one of my superstar horses has been asked to come and demonstrate.
Now, what does that mean exactly? Which horse?
Bond. Explorer 007.
Okay.
He's my young Danish warm blood that I imported as a 3-year-old who's now 9, and he's now schooling Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start to raise money for him.
Okay,
so he can go to the Olympics.
So explain that. So, but you go to events like this to raise money.
It's exposure. And the other exciting thing about this is...
Well, hold on. Let's go. Let's finish that explanation, though. So basically, he's been invited to do what at this event?
To demonstrate his athletic ability and wonderful training. In dressage.
In dressage
mm-hmm.
only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll go there. He'll have a good audience?
Oh, yes. I can't tell you exactly how many people go there, but it is packed. There are about 6 buildings that are huge, filled with horse lovers. And the vendors who come, they range from the horse trailer people to the latest products, clothing, horse products, saddles, the best shoes for your horses, hooves. I mean, everything you can imagine, the new helmets. It's a festival for the horse lover, and it's huge. There are 2 of them. One is in Ohio, and one is here.
Now, how many horses get chosen to go demonstrate?
Not very many.
Not very many.
It's very difficult. They want, you know, the best of the best to show the people.
Now, what's the average age of an Olympic dressage horse?
What discipline are we talking?
Dressage.
Okay. The jumpers can be, you know, range all over the place. Actually, each discipline, they can range from, the youngest you would see would be a 9-year-old. That would be very young. Usually the Olympians are 15, 16. They're seasoned competitors.
So just like gymnasts.
Yeah, I guess so. Only not in human years, right?
Right.
Exactly. So yeah, you're going to have to come up to the Equine Affair.
And that is
watch,
when?
Watch Bond go. It starts November 9th. It's for the weekend. And you can see all kinds of different equestrians, from show jumpers, Tennessee walking experts, to natural horsemanship, animal horse psychics come. They will tell you about your horse.
That's great. Now, where is the event take place?
Springfield, Massachusetts.
Springfield, Mass. And
it's about an hour from here.
Is there a big... There's a big facility
or a big exposition center there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they have a big antique show up there, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's huge. They have a lot of dog shows. That's where Flo was with her dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, our friend Flo has a border terrier that has been showing, and I think will be showing no more, is my understanding. Now,
okay.
Then you were going to give us a Barbaro update.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but you were questioning the possibility of Barbaro living through
his
disastrous accident.
Sure, well, I think a lot of people did.
They did, but I want to tell you that through the miracle of science, he's still with us today. He's doing very, very well. He has a strong appetite. His vital signs are excellent. He goes out every day for grazing. And
So he's walking.
He is walking. I mean, still, obviously, the doctors are, you know, cautiously optimistic.
And what about the hoof problem?
He has a cast on both legs, but it's doing very well.
Okay, good.
So all we can say is, you know, he's still healthy and eating, and
great.
He might recover.
All right. I don't think there's anything else we could tell anybody this week. What do you think?
I think that's great. Thanks,
all right.
Dean.
Thanks. Alex Teller is our own personal home cook here at Virtual Hudson Valley.
Hi, Dean.
Hey, Big Al. How's your week?
It's been pretty good.
Good, good, good. What are we going to cook this week?
We're going to talk about pears.
We're going to talk about pears. Now, you know, initially I thought we might talk about wild turkeys.
No.
But we're not, because our wild turkey experiment with making a mole out of a local Hudson Valley shot by our hunter wild turkey didn't work right.
It didn't, and you need to work on it. But
I need to work on it, but I did prove that you can cook wild turkey legs so that they are edible.
That's true, and they are good.
They are good, yes.
So instead of wild turkeys, we're talking about pears because they are in season and they're delicious.
Not wild pears.
No, these are, you know, domesticated pears.
Domesticated pears.
That grow in rows, usually.
Okay.
On a tree.
Mm.
And these are pears poached in wine, and it's a traditional French dessert. And actually got this recipe from Marilyn Charpentier, the Vagabond Gourmand.
Oh, you can visit her at vagabondgourmand.com.
And it's a great, it's A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Italian food and how you can eat it in the Hudson Valley. Well, French food in the Hudson Valley is good as well. So you could probably even find a fortified wine in order to make this dessert.
You mean from
a New York wine.
Maybe a Niagara one. I don't think you could find a local fortified wine.
Yeah, maybe not. Okay. So to do this, you make your syrup first. At least let it, you know, sit for maybe, 24 hours is great, 12 hours, 6 hours. Just to make the syrup, you just need 12 ounces or 1.5 cups water, 8 ounces or 1 cup sugar, 1 cinnamon stick, 4 star anise, 1/2 a vanilla bean, and 4 fluid ounces of Madeira. Mix the water, sugar, and spices together in a small saucepan and bring it to a boil, then simmer for 20 minutes. You can stir it around. Then add the Madeira and simmer it for another 10 minutes. Then pull it off the heat and let it sit. And this is let it sit for a couple hours, 12 hours, 24 hours. It'll infuse the spices and just make a nicer, richer, more dimensional sauce. And then when you're ready to make the pears, I just want to actually say one other thing. This is not a dessert that you fix at the last minute. This is a dessert that you have to fix early in the day because the pears have to cook and then they have to rest in the syrup for a couple of hours. They have to cool and then they have to chill. So start this recipe the day ahead. It's easy, but it's not time consuming. It just needs the pears are better when they...
It has to have character.
It has to have character. So when you're ready to poach the pears, what you want 4 firm local pears. You want them just under ripe. You want them firm. Juice of 1 lemon sprinkled. That's used to keep them from browning. So you slice them in half. You core and you peel them. And leave some of the stem on if you can. It's very pretty when you present them. And sprinkle lemon juice on them. Bring the syrup back up into a simmer and drop the pears in and spoon the syrup over them. You want them to poach. You want it to come up about halfway up to 3/4 up the side of the fruit.
Let me ask about the lemon juice.
Yes.
You do that to keep them from turning brown?
Yes.
Okay.
And that is, it doesn't affect their flavor in any way.
Well, it has a sad acidity, I would think.
Right. So then this process, the poaching process, is only about 10 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes, and you test them just to make sure that they're still firm and they aren't dissolving. And pull them out, gently take them from the syrup and sit them on a plate, let them cool to room temperature. Once they've reached that, spoon some syrup over them, cover them, put them in the refrigerator to chill. Right before you serve them, pull them out and... to serve them, you put 2 on each plate, spoon a little sauce over them, and eat. Last night we had ice cream with ours. That's not traditional.
Ice cream's fun.
But ice cream's fun. Okay. So that's the poached pear situation of the week.
There we go. Well, that's nice and seasonal.
It is nice and seasonal. I don't know what we're up to for next week yet.
And I don't think we'll get another wild turkey in to figure out the wild turkey mole by then.
Our hunter has said he will bring us one, but I do not know when.
We don't know when.
So, next week, surprise!
Surprise. All right.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Big Al. Ilana Papel has a weekly email newsletter and a blog that she is once again entering information into called Events or the List or whatever you want to call it, Things to Do in the Hudson Valley. And she's back after almost a month.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you.
Good.
I hope after all this time that you've been gone, you've been able to find some stuff for us to do.
As a matter of fact, I have, and especially with its incredibly great fall foliage.
Is the foliage in already?
Dean, you need to leave your studio a little bit more often.
I have not seen any yet, but apparently the foliage is in, ladies and gentlemen. Get in your cars and come up to the Hudson Valley, because it is the best time of year.
It certainly is, and one of the best places to see the great foliage, Dean.
Wait, strike that. Hop the train.
Even better.
Save gas.
Absolutely.
Don't pollute our air.
Take your bike and drive or bike to Innisfree.
All right.
Why not?
I would avoid 44. The traffic's very fast.
Find a way. Anyhow, it closes on October 20th. It is just the best time of year, I think, to be there. Get a little bit more information by looking at InnisfreeGarden.com. They're open Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and Saturdays and Sundays.
Don't take your dog.
Don't take your dog. And then after Innisfree, if you are interested in eating, the Delavern has opened. And that's exciting.
Where is that? That's the place?
That's on 44 over by County Route 83, so kind of between Millbrook and Aminia. And for those of us who've been here for a while, you might remember it as either the Beanery or even Top of the Stretch. But the food is really good and very creative. The bathrooms are clean, and it was really a very good dining experience. I'd highly recommend it.
Well, I think that if somebody can't keep their bathrooms clean, you wonder how they run their kitchen.
The bathrooms were clean, and I do obviously remember when it was Top of the Stretch.
Well, so. I never went there. That place has been closed since I moved up here.
So. Yes, but people still talk about it on occasion.
Not to me.
Okay. Anyhow, if you have the opportunity to get to the Millbrook Vineyards, between 12 and 4 o'clock on October 7th is the harvest party. And I'm saying this first because you'll need to call ahead and get tickets as soon as you hear this.
Right.
Since it is required to get tickets ahead of time. And call them 677-8383, extension 17, or millbrookwine.com. And it's kind of exciting because this year they're featuring Chef Michael Romano.
Union Square Cafe.
Yes. Man has his own cookbook, so they're good. Something else is that the town of Aminia is doing something very cool, Dean. They have a community dark garden club, and they're giving away to Aminia residents Glory of the Snow Bulbs. I don't know how to pronounce it, but Leslie can tell you.
So let me ask, though. That's only for Aminia residents.
Yes.
How do they know? Do they check your driver's license?
I expect there's a fair bit of an honor system going on.
Okay, just so we're aware that it's an honor system. And if you want to sneak in and say, yes, I do live in Aminia, you never know.
Or what you could do is actually just kind of encourage your own town to do something that's amazingly cool.
Okay.
Easiest thing to do is to email the town clerk at ameniany.gov or just check out their website. But I think it's really great that they're doing this. So try to participate. Friday, October 6th, there's going to be a reading at the Star Library in Rhinebeck by Wendy Burton.
Okay.
And it's called Joy is a Plum-Colored Acrobat. This starts at 7 o'clock, and it's on West Market Street in Rhinebeck.
7 p.m.
That's right.
Good.
Okay.
That's much better.
I think so. There's going to be a film screening at Bard. Bard is celebrating the Beckett centenary.
Right. Because he would have been 100 years old?
Yeah. He made it really close.
Or it would have been 100 years since Waiting for Godot. Or it's 100 years of waiting.
No, he would have been 100. He would have been 100. He only died a few years ago. And this is going to be a film screening of Waiting for Godot. But then there's also going to be a live performance of Waiting for Godot this week as well.
Now, my favorite birthday card I ever got was this guy, and he's sitting there, and there's an empty plate in front of him, and it says, Waiting for Gâteau. And and I thought, you know, you have to know things on all kinds of levels just to understand this card.
Well, he's going to be waiting a long time.
I thought it was pretty good, though.
Anyhow, that starts at 7:30. Tickets are $7.50, and you can either just stop off at Bard or give them a call, 758-7900, or even look at their website, fishercenter.bard.edu. They have a lot going on.
Always.
Yes. Especially the next few days. Up in Pine Plains on Friday and Saturday is the Fall Festival. Indoor and outdoor agricultural exhibits, dairy shows, livestock parade, a horse and tractor pull, one of each, food and more. Friday, it's from noon to 4. Saturday, it's from 9 a.m. until dark. It's free, and it's at the Stissing Mountain High School, which is on Church Street in Pine Plains, which I think is also known affectionately as Route 199.
Okay.
518-398-7181. Oliver begins at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck, 876-3080. And that's going to be this Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock and also on Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's about $22 a ticket. And I think it's also going to be the next two weekends.
Yeah, and for anybody who doesn't know that play, it's the male version of Annie, right?
Kind of, yeah. I think it was the first play I was in high school or junior high. Anyhow, in Woodstock, there's going to be a studio tour, which is visiting the studios of 25 artists. That sounds pretty cool. And that's going to be on Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 5, rain or shine. It's only $5, Dean.
That's cheap.
Yes, it is. 20 cents an artist.
That's a bargain.
679-6234.
Assuming your math is right, but which I did not, check.
You should never assume my math is right.
All right.
Rhinebeck Antiques Fair. It's the 30th year that they've been doing this.
Wow.
Yeah, over 200 exhibitors. It's going to be indoors. It's $9, but if you stop in one of the local antique shops, you can pick up a stripy yellow card, and that takes it off a whole dollar.
Okay.
Free parking. There's also a food court. It's Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday 11 to 4, and obviously in Rhinebeck. If you need more information, 876-1989. On Saturday the 7th, tons of things to do, but here's just a few of them. There's obviously more on the blog.
Right.
NYSEA, which is the Northeast Sustainable Energy Association, has their annual Green Buildings Tour. It's free. It's extremely informative. The website tells where you can see environmental success stories in action, and that's from Maine to Delaware. But more locally, there's a whole bunch on the other side of the river. There's one in Amenia. You will need a reservation. If you're interested in the one for Amenia, 877-6030, or just send an email, info@ebmservices.com. Some really neat walkings. One is at Vassar College, but another one is in Wasaic. So you can have a good idea of what happened in the historic hamlet of Wasaic. That starts at 2 o'clock. It takes about 1.5 hours of your weekend to see Wasaic and get a bit of exercise. It's only about a mile.
A very small bit of exercise.
It's run by Anne Linden of the Amenia Historical Society. She's a really, really superb lecturer. I would just recommend going just to hear her. If you feel like taking a little bit of a drive up in Greenport, which is Columbia County, at the Cornell Cooperative Extension, there is a plant swap. Mm-hmm. And that's from 10 a.m. until noon.
Does that mean houseplant or garden plant or
fake
any,
plant?
Any kind of plant?
I don't know. I think you should stock
up. A silk plant swap?
Yes, 518-828-3346.
Okay.
There's also apple festivals, including things like fresh baked apple pies.
I like how they organize these festivals at the right time of the year.
Well, there's no sense in having an apple festival in May.
Well, it's nice. Well, not unless you're going to just have nothing but Chilean Fuji apples.
Which gets a little boring.
Which beats, defeats the purpose.
That's true. And there are so few apple orchards left here. It's really great to support them.
Support them. And so who are we supporting here? We don't know.
I don't know which orchard specifically,
but
local
apples
will be for sale. And this is at the Rhinebeck Reformed Church, which is at Route 9 and South Street in Rhinebeck.
Okay.
876-3727. It's from 10 to 2. Obviously, all the farm stands around here are packed with apples as well. So, and pumpkins. Great time to start picking up apples and pumpkins.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Artists in the Garden is the 13th annual art show and sale, and that has more than 50 artists showing their work from 11 to 4 p.m. It's free. There is a rain date of October 8th or 9th. It's at Vanderbilt Mansion in Hyde Park, 229-6432. And author Da Chen will be at Merritt Books in Red Hook, Millbrook, and Cold Spring, 758 Book. Their website, I think, is just merrittbooks.com. And I would recommend going to hear him. He's wonderful. Columbus Day Cabaret in Lakeville. That is from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. It's $45 in advance or $65 at the door with the music by the Tri-Arts Big Band. So lots of Bobby Darin and Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
Champagne, wine, and desserts. Casual attire, but do you remember it's Salisbury. It's at the Village
Green. Now, what do you mean by that? Does that mean casual attire is like...
I wouldn't wear jeans.
Country club... like blue blazers and...
I would think so. I would think so. It
button striped shirts, Oxford stuff.
You can wear pink, Dean. It's that kind of thing.
Well, and I know that's how both my dad and Alex's dad dress that way.
There you go. But I don't think I wouldn't show up in jeans. Anyhow, it's at the Village Green over by the White Hart. And you can look at Salisbury/LakevilleCT.com for more information. This benefits the Lakeville Hose Company.
Okay.
On Sunday, October 8th, it's the annual Dutchess County Farm Tour, which is what the DLC sponsors. And you get to have a good idea why preserving land is such an important idea.
Right. And just so everybody knows, the DLC is the Dutchess Land Conservancy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dutchessland.org. This is the 14th annual self-guided tour of farms. And this year, there's also the Millbrook Vineyard. It goes from 9:30 until 4 o'clock, 677-3002 for more information.
Okay.
And then that evening, Ian Anderson is going to be at UPAC. He's going to be playing orchestral Jethro Tull.
He's going to be sitting on a park bench.
Well, he usually sits on something else, but he just sits there and he plays and chats with the audience, and he's extremely talented.
And just for Al's benefit, snot running down his nose.
Since the UPAC and Bardavon have merged, you can either look at bardavon.org or upac.org or call 339-6088 for details and tickets.
Now, you know, Al won't listen to Jethro Tull just because of that one line. She won't listen to a single Jethro Tull song because of the one line in Aqualung.
I don't know what to say about that, Gene.
I think it's interesting.
Okay.
So you could never get her to go to that concert.
Does she understand that Ian Anderson was with Jethro Tull? Or
no, I'm saying she'd never go to that concert because it's Jethro Tull.
I'm just thinking that you like kind of just sneak her in.
She wouldn't do it.
Okay. Well,
no, not
sure
after she listens to this
else.
Show, she won't do it.
Monday, October 9th, and also on October 13th, which is Friday the 13th.
Good Lord.
Yep. More Beckett Centenary at Bard, including a piece of monologue, which is a performance by Connor Lovett, who's also the artistic director. That's only $12.50, Dean. 758-7900 starts at 7 p.m.
All that culture for just $12.50.
Exactly. And there are so many great plays and films. I would really recommend checking out their website, which is fishercenter.bard.edu. And finally, something to look forward to on Wednesday, October 11th and going through the 15th is the start of the Woodstock Film Festival.
Right, which is a no small deal.
No, it's not. They have some incredibly good films there. And for more information or an itinerary, woodstockfilmfestival.com.
All right, I'll have to go check that one out, definitely.
Do. And that is it for me. There's a little bit more on the blog. Have a great week.
Thank you, you too. And that's all for this week's show. Thank you for tuning in. I'd like to encourage you to visit our contributors because they just work so darned hard. Leslie Land can be found at leslieland.com. You can find her blog there. And this week, it will have more information about alliums and where you can get them, where you can get them quickly, planting them, and what else to plant around them, and all of those important things that she touched upon just barely in our show, but will go into much greater depth on her blog. Carrie Swanson has her blog at carrieswanson.com, and that's spelled C-A-R-I, swanson.com. You can get horse training tips and all kinds of horse information from there, so go pay her a visit. Alex Tuller has her recipes, as always, on the Virtual Hudson Valley podcast blog. You can find that right off the front page of virtualhudsonvalley.com. Ilana Papel also has her blog up and going, and she's making sure she's contributing regularly to it now. You can go find events there, a much bigger list of events than we discuss on the show. That is, you can find off the front page of Virtual Hudson Valley, or you can go straight there by clicking virtualhudsonvalley.com/events. I'd also like to thank our friends at the Dutchess County Arts Council for their contributions. You can find them at artsmidhudson.org. Virtual Hudson Valley is produced by Drake Creative in Millbrook, New York. I'm Dean Temple, and thank you for listening.